This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. As a society, we've known for months that essential workers are more at risk of contracting COVID-19 than others. A new research paper out of UC San Francisco examines the risk of death among these workers, and it suggests that the death toll due to COVID is likely much higher than official counts suggest. FM89's Carrie Klein spoke with Yehung Chen, an epidemiologist at UCSF and the primary author of this study, about his team's research into excess deaths.
So among Californians of working age, 18 to 65 years of age, we estimate that roughly 10,000 more people died than we would have expected had the pandemic not occurred. That's only from March through October. And that represents a 22% increase. In other words, deaths were 22% higher than we would have expected had the pandemic not occurred. The way we did this was we basically looked at older data and we projected out what we would have expected to see had the pandemic not occurred.
Yeah, that's pretty tremendous. And so, okay, so those are the numbers that, you know, those are, that maybe it was a starting point perhaps, but then you humanize those numbers by, as you said, examining these excess deaths by occupation and by race and ethnicity. And in some ways, perhaps those findings were not all that surprising. You know, who did you find appears to have, suffered the highest mortality rates last year?
Workers among the food and agricultural industries, that was a big one. They saw a relative increase of 39%. We also saw large increases among workers in transportation and logistics workers. That would be things like delivery, also large increases in facilities that would include stuff like janitorial services and construction.
And then by looking at these excess deaths by race and ethnicity too, the highest impacts appear to have been among people of color.
The greatest rises have been among Latinos and Blacks. And that's something that we've seen with other studies we've worked on, and other people have reported similar things. And it's certainly alarming. It's certainly one of those things that when we first started working on this, we expected to see, but I certainly didn't expect to see such big differences.
But then, you know, there was at least one small surprise. I mean, if you talk about the mortality rate among the health and emergency sector.
Yeah, so that was an interesting one. I think, so the relative increase we saw there was about 20%, which is about in line with what we see overall for working individuals. And that was a little surprising. I imagine many of your listeners may have anticipated seeing a greater increase there. And our interpretation is that it's indicative of workplace protections that are in place in hospitals. I don't want to diminish the tremendous sacrifice that healthcare workers take and the risks that they face. And it's also not to diminish the horror stories that we've heard about, for example, lack of masks or scarcity of masks in hospitals, particularly early in the pandemic. But our interpretation of that finding of the 20% relative increase among healthcare workers compared to, let's say, a 40% relative increase among food and agriculture is that among healthcare settings, we tend to know that there are strong protections in place.
And so why are all of these people dying? Can we assume that all of these deaths, is there a way of knowing whether all these deaths are related to COVID?
It's a great question. And we have looked at that. And the short answer is that a large proportion of this is officially accountable to COVID. There's also another portion that we know and imagine to be unrecorded COVID. We know that there are, and we've heard this from physicians and anecdotally, and there's other evidence for that oftentimes COVID deaths aren't officially recorded as such. So that's part of the story as well. There's certainly other things going on, and there have been concerns about increases in non-COVID deaths. But our overall theory about this is that it's primarily COVID deaths.
So I think it became apparent, you know, relatively early on in the pandemic that frontline workers were especially vulnerable to this virus. Communities of color were especially vulnerable to this virus. What do you think is the value of a study like this that confirms in a way, you know, what in some ways we already knew?
It's a really interesting question because as we worked on this, I think we struggled with how valuable this might be to people. I think we had a sense that this was important, but at the same time, we also had a sense of what you're pointing to, which is that, don't we already know this, right? And in truth, the actual quantitative data on this has been pretty limited. And so the primary evidence on this sort of stuff has been documented instances of outbreaks or knowledge about lack of protections in workplaces or simply anecdotal evidence. Certainly, I think among people who work in these industries, among people who have unfortunately lost loved ones who work in these industries, I think these results are not very surprising. But what we saw actually when we posted this a couple of weeks ago was really that it really took off, and there's been this huge outpouring of reaction of I don't want to say support, but there's been a lot of people who've reached out to us and are really grateful, I think, for this information. And I think it speaks to the prior lack of quantitative data on this.
And so quantitative data might actually allow for more solid steps forward to try and, you know, curb the virus in certain ways, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you know, we're hopeful that this will lead to action on multiple fronts, and certainly workplace protections and also vaccination as well. That it's one thing to document outbreaks, but I think having data that are for the entire state and across multiple industries, I think is valuable. And keep in mind, especially, that a lot of the information out there prior to this, or a lot of the conversation prior to this, has been on the healthcare workers, which is deserved. But I think we are proud of the fact that we are drawing attention, at least in a quantitative scientific way, to what's going on, for example, among the food and agricultural workers. We've been seeing some action this week, for example, with local actions on hero pay, of increasing pay for workers by the hour during the pandemic. There's ongoing conversations about the Cal/OSHA regulations that were put into place in response to the pandemic. You know, we're glad to be part of this conversation and to provide information that can guide these decisions. And similarly with vaccination, I think you know, that's this whole vaccination question is controversial, and it's unavoidably controversial. You know, the 65 plus model that the state has adopted and is a plan that really does make a lot of sense in many ways. And the reason being that most people who die from COVID are older individuals. That being said, I do think it's worth looking at other groups, especially because we know it will take a long time to vaccinate people who are 65 years and older. And I think particularly with essential workers, some things to think about are that essential workers tend to be younger and that they have a long life potentially ahead of them. It's also important to think about this whole idea of why we call them essential in the first place, which is that we view them as being essential to our society and essential to our economy. So if you think about food and agricultural workers, if you look at agriculture specifically, which I know is important to the Central Valley, agriculture this industry doesn't just put food onto the plates of Californians. It's providing food for the nation and really people all over the world. And so I think these workers have a really important, you know, place to play, and that needs to be taken account in this conversation about vaccination. I mean, a third area to look at here with essential workers is the racial elements. We know, for example, that Latinos make up a large proportion of agricultural workers. When you look at the 65 plus plan, we know that the age distribution of COVID deaths actually depends on race. And so you're actually, the coverage of the 65 plus plan doesn't work quite as well by race, because we know that Latinos and Blacks, the deaths are occurring at younger ages.
Right. Well, Yehung Chen, epidemiologist at UC San Francisco, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.